Abide in the purity of egoless mind. Cleanse the mind of all images, all beliefs, all concepts. And all identification. Release the knot of attachment to the body. Turn the attention completely inward to the center of beingness. Enter into the core of stillness, silence, emptiness. Open the heart to receive the fullness of grace. Take refuge with the Lord. Surrender. Yield to the presence of God and be one. Surrender completely the will. Become the passive instrument, the yin to the Lord's yang, until unity is consummated. Be filled with the Shakti, the power of God, fully present in your heart. merge in love with the Supreme Self. Become one with the Beloved. Realize there is only consciousness. The world is only your consciousness. Immaterial. And all is the same. The same substance of pure awareness. There is only the one self. Abide as the bodiless presence, formless, nameless, timeless. Realize the self as eternal presence. We continue with the endless satsang. With the teachings from Thus Spake Ramana. We're at number 45. Silence is like the even flow of electric current. Speech is like obstructing the current for lighting or other purposes. So you attach an apparatus, you plug it into the Shakti, and then you can have whatever you wish as an application. Thought, emotion, creative expression, activity, whatever. But the silence is the flow of the power itself. So, however much a jnani might talk, he is still the silent one, because the jnani never obstructs the flow of the power of the presence of God. So, even though there may be applications that are used by the organismic vehicle of that Shakti, the jnani stays as the Shakti itself that is always flowing without obstruction in uninterrupted silence. So however much he might talk, he is still the silent one. However much he might work, he is still the quiet one. His voice is the incorporeal voice. His walk is not on the earth. It is like measuring the sky. So because the yogi who is a jnani is egoless, there is no sense of subjectivity grounded in matter. It is completely ethereal. And without intention and without leaving a trace, because there is no ego behind the actions. It is only the Tao itself acting, the will of Shiva. No individual separate being trying to do something or accomplish something or think something. And therefore the infinite presence comes through those actions of the jnani. And that same vibrational frequency of the infinite self is transmitted through every thought, word, and action. Ramana says, Guru's grace is always there. You imagine it is something somewhere high up in the sky, far away, and has to descend, but it is really inside you, in your heart. And the moment you effect the subsiding or the merger of the mind into its source, the moment that the mind subsides, merges into God, the grace gushes forth, spouting as from a spring from within you. So it doesn't take a lot of time. You don't have to dig a deep well in order to get the water of grace. It's there. It's right there bubbling up in your heart waiting for you to connect to it. But it requires you remove the barrier of your own I thought that separates you from the grace of God. When a devotee reaches a certain stage and becomes fit for enlightenment, the same God whom he was worshiping comes as guru and leads him on. But the guru comes only to tell him that God is within yourself. Dive within and realize God, guru, and self are the same. So don't project a dependency on an other, whether an incorporeal other or a corporeal, or even the words that Ramana is speaking now, don't have any dependence on words or on support or containment, but realize that you are always contained, supported, and manifested by God, because God is yourself. The Bhagavad Gita says, the wise man will think that the senses move among the sense objects and be unattached to the activities of the sense organs. I would go farther and say, this is Ramana speaking, and say that the jnani does not think even that. So Ramana is going beyond the Gita. Ramana says that the jnani knows he is the self and sees nothing apart from the self. So there are no sense objects any longer, because the jnani's mind does not objectify, does not reify, does not separate. Therefore, the jnani sees only the self and has no attraction, no fear, no avoidance, and no attraction. What the Gita says in the above passage is for the abhyasi, the practicer, not the one who is the adept who has attained. To see an object that is in the dark, both the eye and the light of a lamp are required. To see the light alone, the eye is enough. You don't need a lamp to see the lamp, right? The eye is enough. But when it comes to the sun, then there is no need of any other light. And the sun, the real sun, is the self. That is the light. You are the light. Our intellect or buddhi is of no use to realize the self. In other words, to use thought, which derives from the self, to discover the self is an absurdity. You don't discover the sun by looking at the sun ray. You go to the source. The mind is only a lower derivative that is applied within the matrix. But the light of God is beyond the matrix and requires no thinking. And thinking is only an obstacle to realization. So to see the world of external objects, the mind and the reflected light, the chidabhasa, which always rises with it, are necessary. But to see the self, the mind has simply to be turned inside, and there is no need of reflected light. So the light of the self is directly apperceived, always, without an instrument, without a sense organ. The light is the third eye. It's not that the eye must see the light. And therefore, Ramana is always saying, don't try to have visions of God. Who do you think is giving those visions except yourself? Be the source of the vision, not the receiver. That's the practicing stage. But get to the stage where no support of a vision or an external light or any object or any God as an image or an idea are any longer necessary. So, Ramana concludes this passage by saying, the I, in quotes, casts off the illusion of I, in quotes. Okay, the I casts off the illusion of I and yet remains as I. Okay, this is very important. This is the process of liberation right here. There is an I, an awareness that the I that is the thinking I, the I identified with the body, is not the real I. That is cast off. But then even the I that cast it off is cast off, and what remains is the supreme I that is beyond all the need for a process of casting off, because it is always transcendent. So this is the final I, the aham aham. This appears to be a paradox to you, says Ramana, but it is not so to the jnani. Take the case of the bhakta, the one who has devotion for God as another. His I prays to the Lord to unite with him, to unite his I with him, with the Lord, which is its surrender. What remains as the residuum after the surrender is the eternal I, which is the absolute God, or Paramatman himself. What has happened to the I which had originally prayed to God? Being unreal, it simply vanished. So, the I that seeks God must have such love that it dissolves into God, and then there is the realization that that I that was devoted to God never existed. It was an illusion. And that illusion was magnetically drawn back to the source of consciousness. But there was never anything but the one infinite self that is not only the absolute God, the Paramatman, but is the I of every being. So let us use this day to cast off the I of the ego. And then the I that has cast it off itself can be cast off. And then the residuum that remains, you will discover, is the absolute self. And that you are the Paramatman and have never been anything but that. And if you keep the ego eye cast off and don't again identify with it, that is Jivan Mukti. It's very simple, natural, requires no assistance by any applications or any others or any complex thought. It is the natural state of your being. May you give yourself the grace of casting off that which is not experiencing grace, and to know that the grace of God is the very self that you have been seeking, and that you cannot be separate from that grace, that bliss, that beatitude, that joy, that love, that beauty, that light, because that is all that is real. May you know the peace that comes of casting off the I thought and all the baggage of the ego, all its karma, all its trauma, all its fears, desires, attachments, self-images, beliefs, and sense of lack. And in casting off the false I, May you know the deeper peace of turning inward to discover that I that is real, changeless, immovable, infinite, eternal, absolute, perfect, beautiful, blissful, and supremely real. And may you know the deepest, purest peace of the realization that you have always been this ultimate diamond light of the purity of love that is God, and that has always been your inmost essence. And now you know the final truth of I am I.